I'm gonna bring this meeting to order now. It's Tuesday, September 29th, 2020, 2 p.m. This meeting is in order.
For me?
Hey, are you gonna quiet?
It's written wrong.
You are it.
We have an addendum to the survey.
Is Jack in?
No.
Jack's...
You're not in the call, the Zoom call.
One.
Okay, we're starting. We're starting the meeting, so call in.
Okay.
Alright.
This meeting is October 1st, Thursday, 2020, 2 p.m.
Jack on it.
That stands corrected. It is not Tuesday, September 29th, October 1st, 2020, 2 p.m. Can I get a roll call, Danielle, please?
Sharon. Here. Joe.
Here.
Kenny.
Here.
Richard.
Here.
Roy.
Here. At this time, we'd like to make any modifications, additions, and changes to the agenda if there are any. Can we get them mentioned now? Joe?
No.
Ken?
No.
Roy? No. Sharon?
No.
Staff?
No.
Richard?
No.
Oh. That's you loud and clear, Richard. At this point in time, we'll give the board the opportunity to declare any potential conflict of interest. Richard?
I have none.
Joe?
None.
Ken?
None.
Roy? None. Sharon?
None.
Can we get an approval of the agenda as written?
I'll make approval. I make a motion to approve the agenda as written.
Can I get a second on Ken's motion?
I second it.
Joe Spear's second. Roll call. Danielle, please?
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. There are no public comments on the table before today. Do we have any online on call?
I have two.
No.
I have a phone number ending in 9929.
That's me, no.
That's Jack.
And then I have a phone number ending in 7078.
That's me, Danielle.
Alright, thank you.
So Jack, we have you on board?
Yes.
Okay, thank you for that, Jack. Okay, moving on to action items, line four, action item A, McLennan Excavation Charge Order Number One. Gary Travis?
I was gonna let Jack explain the situation.
Okay, Jack?
Yes, hi. You know, we have a number of test pits around the port. However, there were no test pits able to be taken underneath the Zola's building. It turned out Zola's building being the oldest building on the port, as far as I understand. When it was torn out, it turns out that they had a septic system under there years ago, and they have a lot of gray sand and silty material, unsuitable for placing, you know, the standard design that's good for everywhere else in the port except for there. So we found ourselves with a dilemma as far as having to dig down to Timbuktu in order to be able to get an adequate base and to put an adequate base in that would be supportive of a good asphalt. We realized, really, I looked at a design. Actually, Travis brought it to mind. I've used it before, utilizing a soil mix. Basically, you can take existing soils if you have them. In this case, we don't have existing soils, but we could take sand. We could mix it with concrete at this particular rating of loading and rating of base material. I put it at a level A6, and that would, in order to get 100 to 150 PSI, I needed to use a 94 pounds of concrete to get 10% every 6 square feet. It was brought up that maybe we could utilize a slurry since we don't have existing soils to amend. It would be actually more efficient, as long as we kept the slump value down to 5 or 6, which is, I'll specify and have specified to Casey, that we could utilize a concrete slurry, 2 stacks, we don't need 3, 2-stack slurry as a base. 14 to 16 inches is going to be fine to give us over 100 PSI. And then they put a small amount of the existing rock that has already been paid for their leveling course in order to achieve grade before putting the asphalt on top of that. And so we find ourselves with the conditions of discovery. I really don't know action, because if I put a test pit right next to this area, we would come up with a different specification than we have right now. So does that help?
Can we guarantee that?
Say that again.
Can we guarantee that to go out 50 feet and take a core sample and it's going to be different?
Yeah, I can't guarantee it, but I can tell you that if we put this asphalt in, like the asphalt is next to it, it would not survive a year.
No, I realize that, Jack. I realize that 1,000%. What I'm worried about is your slurry. Are you going to have a rebar system in there or any kind of support system?
No, no rebar. No rebar. This is the same as a Roy. You'll see this actually as a method of choice. If you have existing soils, let's say in a ditch or pit, or unless you want to use what's called flowing fill, you can use a 1-sack slurry, for example, in cases where you don't need loading. But you can take concrete and you can mix it up. But when we talked about how many bags we'd need for this 3,000 square foot area for concrete, and the fact is that we don't have existing soils to mix it with. That's the advantage that soil, you use the same, by the way, this same process was used years ago when the high dock, the sheet pile, and that's kind of to use the soil at mixture with concrete is you don't need fat. Of its ability to support, it's very supportive. It's what you call a weak concrete, and it would be mixed with soil normally. You got to have about a 10% cement mix for this type of loading that I've seen from the soils that we have under there. So that's where the number came from, and that's where the specification for 2-sack slurry came from. I don't know if I answered your question or not.
You did. Thank you, Jack. Absolutely.
Okay.
Any discussion from the board for Jack, Richard?
No, that was pretty clear.
Okay. Hey, Joe?
I understand what you meant, but I still don't understand why you're not putting steel in there.
Because we're trying to change basically the ground. We're not building a pad essentially in there. You kind of got to think about, if you ever removed it, you'd be digging through concrete rebar. We're trying to harden the soil. We won't, the rebar.
Just give it strength to keep it from coming apart. I understand what it does. Yeah.
Yeah, normally what we do, the rebar question is a good one. And I can tell you, whenever we're trying, if we were, for example, trying to actually create a surface for loading, you know, we're actually creating a concrete pad, there's, of course, you're absolutely right. We'd put probably in this case a 24 by 24, number 5 bar in there. But that's not here what we're doing. What we're doing is making it easier on ourselves rather than, here's what the first specification said, which I told them to do. Take 7 to 8 inches of soil on a single lift, because a rototiller is not going to get much more than 7 or 8 inches, okay? So you put 7 or 8 inches, put concrete every 12 square feet, a 94-pound bag, every 12 square feet over that entire 3,000 square foot area, break it up and rake it all out and even it out, and then rototill it all in, and then put another 8-inch lift in, and then mix it all. And what you've done, and by the way, you have to wet it as you're going, and that will give you, that will utilize the existing soil that you have, and it will stabilize that you know, with what's called soil amendment. This is cement soil amendment. This is a procedure. It's outlined by ASTM, and you know, this is not something like super innovative. However, it came to note that this is a lot of labor. It would have cost a lot more to do it that way, in terms of how much you got to put in there and how much you got to do. When we can get two slack slurry, now I was going to get three, but I calculated out two is fine. Bring the sand in before we mix it with the cement. So in order not to avoid doing all that, we said, hey, how about, let's look at the cost for just bringing in a slurry from somebody that'll go ahead and put it in a truck. It'll be completely mixed. We don't have to worry. It'll be a superior mix. I just have to worry about the amount of moisture going in there. So I have to specify a slump. Okay, that a slump is a slump test. It's a cone. And basically, you fill this cone up. It's an ASTM 143. And basically, you fill it up. You slowly, over a period of five to 11 seconds, you lift the cone up and you measure from the top of the cone to the top of that slump. And that gives you a slump value. In this case, it would be a slump value of 6. And that's what is going to be acceptable for putting that slurry in. So anyway, it's just a substitution for what Travis is saying for soil amendment, because we don't have the soil in there. So we'd have to put it in there. So we've got that extra cost of putting in the sand, and then the extra cost of laying out the cement in a very labor-intensive way. And it just turned out to be cheaper just to have them bring in two sacks slurry. I probably repeated myself 3 or 4 times there, so I apologize for that.
That's all right, Jack.
Any questions, Joe?
No.
Ken?
I understand what you're trying to do.
He just said 3,000 square feet. Is that the footprint of the building that was in there, or a little over?
It's a little over. Yes, it's the footprint of the building itself. And go ahead.
Have we done any core samples out of beyond that 3,000 feet, just to see what's down there?
We've actually, there's been core samples over the years taken. But none recent. We certainly took some did some pit sampling over a much larger area, the north parking lot, before we let the Marine Board come and specify for that parking lot. But don't have any other recent core samples in that area.
It seems to me, well, Jack, you're the engineer. You've looked at the soils, but it just seems to me it wouldn't hurt to go out 50 feet on each side with an auger and go down 6 feet and see what's down there. That's a very inexpensive test that could be done. I'd like to know this is going to come to an end, not, you know.
Well, let's put it this way. The asphalt that's all around it, the reasoning for that was that the asphalt that's all around it, okay, we may find similar materials, but it's got to be better than the stuff that was under Zola's, because remember, Zola's was built before asphalt was laid in that area. And so there was only a concrete pad, which was the building was floating on, 6 to 8 inches of concrete, and that's what the Zola's was set on. It wasn't set on asphalt. And so, you know, there would be no reason for me to believe, when I look at the subgrade degradation that's evident in all the cracking in asphalt all around it, it looks like typical subgrade degradation. In fact, we saw the same stuff, similar, only not quite as bad, but we saw the same stuff before the parking lot was replaced on the, you know, by the launch ramp and that whole area up there. So I expect that there, yes, we could do soil samples there. And if we were going to actually do, in my view, if we were actually going to do asphalt work, of a large scale, we would always do a pit sample, but I can't pit sample underneath the building, and that you know, we just had to leave it to discovery. So I suppose there's some way I could have gotten a sample, but I wouldn't have even been confident. If I'd taken a pit sample of the asphalt, whatever I'd gotten from it, I still wouldn't be confident about what was under that Zola's building when I found out from Travis or Gary about the history of that building, which is it was the oldest building on the site. And when we tore it up and found that it was exposed and there was actually a former septic system under there, we found some pipes and also, so consequently gray material. This is not what I expect to find anywhere at the Port of Brookings or have seen in any of the sampling that we have done in the past. So for those reasons, I made the decisions I did.
Okay, you've answered my question. Thank you.
Sure.
You bet. Okay.
Well, I think everybody's answered everything. My knowledge.
There are a few things I should bring up. First of all, the haul off of 34 loads that's on, if you're looking at the change order put forth by Casey, okay, the haul off is incorrect. If you have that in front of you?
They do.
Yep.
Okay, the haul off of 34 loads is incorrect. That material that he's pulling out is not spoils. That's material that we actually put in. And so therefore, most of it's going to be 4-inch because we're going to scrape off the 1.5-inch and utilize it for the grading course to put on top of the slurry. Okay, but so that material is going to be just pulled off and put back on. The dump haul off. I admit it's not that much money, but the dump haul off. You could have that if you want to keep that for yourself. That belongs to you. It doesn't belong to Casey, and it's not spoils. It's all, everything he's going to dig out is good material. That it's all good. It's all rock, four inch minus rock. Okay. So that should be mentioned, and we can talk to him about reduction price. The cobble rock price down there having to do with the landscaping. It's not part of this. Really change order as a result of the discovery, the 1530. And I believe you're going to be using that for landscaping. And you could use some of that 4-inch, depending on how you feel it looks, how you feel it'll fit in as for landscaping. You could use that too, and it wouldn't have to go anywhere. So it's just a matter of moving it rather than hauling it off. So those things should be mentioned. And the cobble rock of 60 tons, again, it's not a whole lot of money, but the, 60 tons probably transfers roughly, if I calculate it out, something like 37 cubic yards of material. I don't know how you're going to use that much in what I saw out there. So those kinds of things are probably, you probably should think about having that provision in there that you give the port management the ability to negotiate those things.
Richard, do you have any questions for Jack?
I just have a clarification point, Jack. So as I understand this slurry, we're not talking something that comes out like concrete. We're just talking about stiffening the soil so it'll be load-bearing with the asphalt on top of it. Is that correct?
That is, and really it is, we are actually, what we're doing with the bringing in the two-stack slurries, we're actually bringing in the cement, but we're with the soil. Instead of putting the soil down ourselves, bringing soil in ourselves, and then putting concrete on top of it and mixing it, we're bringing in the soil and the cement mixed in together. I said concrete, I meant cement.
Okay.
So you understand what I mean?
Yes, I do. I was trying to get at the point that rebar probably wouldn't even be effective in this sort of a situation. Is that correct?
It would not. The effective, any flex from the rebar, any flex from the material, all the rebar would do is just move within the bed of the material. The material, mainly what I want is compressive strength here. And, you know, I expect some of this material to crack a little bit. It's just going to create a bed. And also, by the way, it's going to expand out about 3/4 inch on all sides. And well, actually just expand upward 3/4 inch and outward maybe 1.5 inches. It's going to press nicely against the existing embankment all around. So I like the idea of this. This is a nice idea. And it's, by the way, even though it is because there's already there's no fill, we have to bring our own fill material in, so we're bringing them in together, mixed already. But even so, the flow method of soil stabilization is, you can get machines and rent them, and they load the existing fill soil that you have in your ditches. You mix it in, and then mixes in and wets the cement and flows it in, and does basically the same thing as a slurry. Okay, except for it's also got silts and other sand and silt and clays in it as well, where this is just pure sand. So these are standard methods. I'm not coming up with anything new.
That answer your question, Richard?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Jack, this is Roy. I have a few questions.
Sure.
You mentioned that you found a septic system in one sentence, and in another sentence, you mentioned you found pipe. Did we find a septic tank? Did we find any kind of a septic dumping?
There was no septic
tank.
Only, they looked at me like, Roy, it looked at me like stuff that had been removed, and they had remaining pipes in there from long ago. You see that sometimes in old discontinued fields where they did other stuff. It looks to me like they actually did some excavating before they put Zolas in originally, and they had taken out some septic system. And because this had been done before the building was built. I'm assuming that the mill or whoever owned it had left some fragments in. So no, we did not find a continuous pipe leading to any kind of a tank or a septic system. There was nothing to decommission, if you will. It was just pieces and parts. It's a very good question.
Okay. Can you tell me the depth of that pipe?
Yes, we only went down to a total of 20 inches. When I saw what was there, I had him dig down a total of 2.5 feet to become crestfallen and find out what we had under there. But I would say that it was probably between 18 and 22 inches in depth.
Okay.
From top of grade.
Right. The next question, Jack. The 3,000 square foot. Are we talking cubic foot? Is that how far we're going to dig down, or is that 3,000?
No.
Square feet.
It's square feet. It's a total of about 30, depending on whether it's going to be between 35 and 38. Cubic feet, and then divided by 27 if what yards. But remember, that material is all good material. That's not spoil. That's all
right.
That they dumped in there.
Okay.
It belongs to the port, that material.
Correct. So how far down, Jack, are you recommending that they dig out? Are you just going to go the 2.5 feet and then do the slurry mixture? Or are we going to go deeper than that?
No, nowhere near it. We're going down, think about between three to four inches of asphalt. Below that, 1 to 3 inches of the grade material that you're going to use for grading. And then the 14 to 16 inches of slurry below that. So they're not going to go down more than 20 inches. They're not going to go into any new spoils. They're only going down to what we've already put in. And we only put in 4 inches. We put in about 8 to 10 inches of 4 inch. And they only excavated to do that. And then they put in, they put fabric underneath. First, they put fabric down after they got down to the 20 inches or so. Then they put about 8 to 10 inches of 4-inch, and then they put in 4 to 6 inches, closer to 6 inches of the 1.5-inch minus for leveling cores. And that's all that they put in. So we're only talking about a trench, Roy, that's, 20 inches deep.
Okay. Jack, when they had that dug out prior to putting in the new fill,
yeah.
I'm concerned about the depth of the real problem, the moisture, and I know we can only go so far before we hit basin water level, but is that moisture without a core sample of any kind, Jack, is that moisture level, is it 10 inches below that 20 inches? Is it 2 foot below that 20 inches? Or does it go from the 20 inches all the way down to the basin water level bad?
I think it goes down. I think that during rains, Roy, I think that you sometimes will have water levels that are almost artesian in that area. I believe that water levels get up within a foot of surface there throughout the port. And
correct.
It's another argument for reinforced soil. You're going to have less degrading in that area than you're going to have elsewhere.
Okay. The last question I have, Jack, is I've never heard of the soil stabilization. I've got quite a background of soil work. The soil stabilization process that I've seen with the cement and lime, it has been a
lime, fly
application.
Ash.
Pardon me?
Yes, you can use lime, fly ash, cement. They're all, my exposure to it originally was, I'm required to maintain my license. I have to have a certain number of hours of study. Okay. And so I studied soil amendment processes through cement, and I had done that prior to the time during 2011, and had that discussion with soil amendment utilizing cement, which he did. He didn't use fly ash or lime. He used cement for the stabilization of the high dock, because he was concerned about lateral forces, from the support lines that went to the dead man that was holding the high dock sheet piles up. So, cement amendment is not new. Do you want me to repeat to you what we would have specified had not we come up with the slurry idea? Because that's kind of what standard soil amendment looks like. You want me to do that? Explain that to you?
It's not necessary for me, Jack. Does any of the other board want to repeat from Jack on that?
No.
I think we're good, Jack, without a repeat on that. But
okay.
My last half of this question to you, Jack, and then I'll hush up. Have you ever used the cement in a dry process, putting it into the hole dry and then layering with dirt, then mixing it in? We always had Gannon tractors,
yes,
that we mixed it in with. And
yes,
we would put the lime down, dirt, lime. But it was a dry process. Is there a
it's
pro
not totally
or con
dry
against me?
You do moisten it to make sure. I'm sorry for the back. I'm in a hotel. I got my dog. Sorry about that. I have used the process, and you're right. What you do is you take a layer of soil, but you do mix water with it. You do mix water with it as you're mixing it, unless you have enough water that you're confident that enough water will wick up from the from standard moisture soil movement. But I didn't want to take that chance in this case, and I want to make sure that I have a cure of 6 days before any more work. For example, you don't even put the gravel or any machinery on other than the original, other than slurry. And if you're going to use soil amendment, you might remember that when you do a dry process, and you put that in, you need to compact it. And after you compact it, you should allow it to cure for a period of about 5 to 7 days. And I'm sure that's what you guys did originally when you did that dry process. Now, if you're not really seriously worried about you know, structure. You're just trying to reinforce it, but you're not watching it closely. Eventually, that cement is going to mix in with that soil and wet and become a matrix. But in the cases of where I'm trying to protect against material I know is no good underneath there, I wanted a cured surface. And that's why I said the slurry is just as good and less labor intensive than to utilize a moisturized, tilled in cement admixture.
All right, so, thank you for the chat. Very, very, very well presented. Thank you so much.
Okay, I didn't think so. I thought I rattled off at the mouth. I apologize.
I thought it was awesome, Jack. Thank you.
Okay.
I am quite surprised at the low bid on the project. I'm glad to see that. Glad we can utilize some of the materials we already paid for. Are we ready for a motion as a board?
I want to comment on that, Roy, since you mentioned it. I want to comment on, I think it's best for you to hear it from me. I've done a good amount of bidding, maybe not as much as you have, a good amount of bidding on various items. I think this guy has been skinny on his bids all along, and he continues to act, I think, in good faith. I think this guy is very interested in working with the Port of Brookings in the future.
I feel the exact same way, Jack. I get a very good vibe from him. Absolutely. Absolutely, I do. And these unforeseens, Jack, they're nobody's faults, man. Unfortunate for whoever the recipient is that has to pay for the unforeseens. And, you know, just like our green building and other projects around. And, Jack, I appreciate you for seeing things that get done right here today, because a lot of our problems, as you're seeing with the footprint of Zola's, was not done right back in the day. Our fuel ramps were not done right back in the day. So thank
right.
you, Jack, for studying and helping us make our port spend money one time instead of 10. I really appreciate that, Jack.
Thank you, Roy, very much.
Absolutely, sir. Would anybody like to make a motion on action item A? Do we have anything from the public? Okay. Wake up, Dennis.
Well, I'm awake.
Okay, I'm watching you.
I'm an eye owl.
Gary.
Now, he's going to put a slurry of one lip, a slurry 10 inches thick?
14.
14 inches thick. How long does that have to sit?
Six days.
6 days?
6 day cure.
Okay. And then gravel goes on.
Right.
That.
And then he will put the fill over it, compact it, and then at that point in time, we will be able to watch the compaction process and see if we still have movement there. But we got to get this ground covered up. Rain's coming, and whatever we have to do, we have to cover this ground up.
That's why, Roy, I made the conservative decision on the slurry rather than go with a lesser design, because to go through the whole testing process, which is standard on much larger projects you would go through, it would bring us into very, very easily bring us into the wet season, and then this whole thing's going to go to heck.
Absolutely. We do not want that, Jack. So the sooner we can get this motion made, we'll go ahead and, Jack, we'll go ahead and call for a motion right now. Can I get a motion to approve action item A, McLennan Excavation Change Order number 1? Anybody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve McKillen Excavation Soil Correction. How's that, Lori?
That's fine. That's absolutely fine. Do we have any discussion from the board before we call for a second? Richard, anything before we call for a second on our motion?
I would like to request that you amend the motion to include the fact that any materials that are removed are the property of the port and will be stored and as directed by the port manager.
Very good.
Okay, we will get Joe to amend that.
I'd like to amend my motion that any of the material that is removed belongs to the port and is stored by staff properly.
Yes. Thank you, Joe. That's satisfactory, Richard?
Yes, sir.
First, Richard.
All right, very good, very good. All right, so anything from the staff? Travis, Gary?
Nope.
Okay. Sharon?
Is it necessary that we add a cost or something to this?
To the motion. Let's mention that, Joe. Go ahead and amend that, please, to include the cost of this item.
Is this the cost, Gary?
And I'd like to add to my amendment the cost. Do you want to write the cost right there, not over?
Correct.
Say what the cost is at the bottom.
Okay, $23,815.79.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Sharon. All right. Can we get a second on Joe's amended motion?
Second.
Roll call, Danielle.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. Commissioners' comments. Joe?
None.
Richard?
None.
Ken?
None.
Sharon? I would like to say thank you to the staff and Jack for you getting on this so pertinently for us, like you said, before the rain gets here. So the motion carried unanimously to go ahead and carry out this fix, Jack. So I believe we can start immediately. You may have to meet with the staff or something else, but I think we can start immediately and get this going. No commissioner comments. Our next regular meeting date is Tuesday, October 20th, 2020 at 6 p.m. With this being said, this meeting is adjourned at 2:37, October 1st, 2020.